The old-time radio era, sometimes referred to as the Golden Age of Radio, was an era during which radio was the dominant home entertainment medium. Families regularly gathered around to tune into their favorite programs. Enjoy today's special nostalgic broadcast as Project Independence and You presents the old-time radio.
Time now for Mr. Keene, tracer of lost persons. Ladies and gentlemen, Anison and Kalinos present Mr. Keene, tracer of lost persons. One of the most famous characters of American fiction in one of radio's most thrilling dramas. Tonight and every Thursday at the same time, the famous old investigator takes from his file and brings to us one of his most celebrated missing persons cases. Tonight's case is entitled The Broken Window Murder Case. Mr. Keene and the Broken Window Murder Case. Our scene opens in a house situated on a large estate. It is very late, and in the library of the house, a middle-aged man sits with a book in his hand, unaware of the terrible danger that hovers nearby.
What are you doing in my house? How dare you come in here? You know very well that... That knife down. Put it down, do you hear? You stabbed me.
Are you Mr. Keene, sir?
Yes.
My name is Laura Franklin. My father... It's so awful. So horrible. I find it difficult to even talk about it, Mr. Keene.
What seems to be the trouble, Laura?
It's my father. He was stabbed to death last night in our home.
Chance for Jarvis, Mr. Keene. No wonder the girl's ready to collapse. Here, miss. Sit down and take it easy.
Try to compose yourself, Laura.
I made up my mind I wouldn't break down again before I told you the story and asked for your help, Mr. Keene.
This is my partner, Mike Clancy. You can say what you want to him as well.
When did this happen, Miss Laura?
Last night, Mr. Clancy. I suppose it'll be in all the newspapers this afternoon. Dad is a well-known member of the community. Mr. Keene, you may have heard of his student endowment fund.
Oh, was he the John Franklin who donated a large sum of money a few weeks ago to help educate promising young students?
Yes, Mr. Keene.
Father was a generous man.
He was very generous and well-liked. Father didn't have an enemy in the world. Why should someone have wanted to kill him?
Tell me, do the police have any suspects?
No, Mr. Keene. They only know that the killer entered our house by breaking a pane of glass in the window of Father's study. There were bloodstains on the broken pane. And the police think the killer must have cut his hand.
I see.
Father was in the library at the time. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was asleep upstairs. I found his body myself, Mr. Keene, early this morning.
Laura, what was your father doing up at 2 o'clock in the morning?
He was troubled with insomnia. He'd usually read in the library until 1 or 2.
You heard no noise, no sound of a scuffle?
No, sir. My room is on the second floor in the back of the house. The killer used a knife, not a gun. And I heard nothing.
Well, what about the servants, Laura?
They're all down at police headquarters now being questioned. I'm certain they had nothing to do with it, though. They were all in the servants' cottage at the time, a few hundred yards from the main house.
And I suppose they heard nothing, huh?
That's right, Mr. Keene. There isn't anyone I know of who might even be remotely connected with Father's murder. Not even...
Not even who, Laura?
Mr. Keene, I don't know why I thought of him. I mean, he'd never...
To whom are you referring? Please, I must know all the facts.
I'll tell you everything I know, Mr. King. No matter who may be hurt by it. The man I referred to just now, his name's George Haycroft. He was a tutor of mine before I met Charles.
Charles? And who is he?
Charles Meade. We fell in love several months ago, and we planned to get married. With Dad's consent, of course.
And what about the other man, George Haycroft?
I'm afraid George took me too seriously, and... Well, I had a little trouble with him. I was fond of him, but it wasn't the way it was with Charles Meade.
I see.
About a week ago, Mr. King, Charles and I were at my house making plans for our wedding. We were talking about our engagement announcement, which had appeared in the papers that morning.
And the happy couple is expected to set a wedding date in the near future. Say, that's quite a write-up, Laura. This time I've ever seen my name in print.
It's Dad's name that gets the publicity, Charles, darling. Not yours or mine.
Well, they can keep the publicity. All I want is you. Oh, expecting someone, Laura?
No. Wait here, Charles. I'll see who it is. Why, George, how are you?
Is it true, Laura? This announcement in the papers. Are you really engaged to Charles Meade?
Why, yes,
But you can't do this. I thought you'd wait. I mean, I thought...
Wait, for what? I don't understand, George.
Wait until I got a better job. Didn't you know that I was in love with you too, Laura?
George, you're joking.
Do I sound like I'm joking?
No, you don't, and you better keep your voice down while you're in this house.
Keep out of this, Meade.
Laura, do you want me to throw George Haycroft out?
No, please, George. Let's not have any unpleasantness. George, I'm sorry that you seem to feel I loved you. I certainly didn't mean to give you that impression. I always believed you were friends and nothing more.
It must have been your father. He poisoned your mind against me. He knows I'm broke and he wants you to marry her to money.
Be your age, Haycraft. You've lost out with Laura. Don't look for excuses.
Yes, Meade. I've lost out. But Laura, I'm going to settle with your father. I'm going to tell him what I think of his conniving to keep us apart.
But that isn't true, George. My father had nothing to do with it.
Don't tell me it isn't true. I know it is. I'm going to have it out with him.
Charles, do you think he means it?
I don't know, Laura. But I'm going to keep an eye on George Haycraft in any case.
Mr. King, the next morning, George Haycraft called me up and apologized for talking that way about my father.
What did he say, Laura?
He said the news of my engagement to Charles upset him so. He didn't know what he was saying at the time. And he promised never to see me or father again.
Because he apologized, you didn't connect him at first with your father's murder?
That's right, Mr. King. Although now... Now I can see how important it could actually be.
You're sure this fellow George Haycraft practically threatened your father, miss?
Mike is right, Laura. Where can he be reached?
George lives on 29th Street, number 823.
Put that down, Mike.
Okay, sir.
He doesn't have a telephone. You'll have to go there and see him yourself, Mr. King.
I will.
First, I want to look at the scene of the crime. Now, where is your home, Laura?
Near Forest Hill.
And we'll drive out there immediately.
Mr. King... I can't tell you how grateful I am for your help. Now that father's gone, I have no one close to me anymore. Except my fiancé, Charles. He's been wonderful. And knowing that someone like
you... I understand. I intend to do everything I can to solve the mystery of your father's murder. I must warn you, it won't be easy. You may be in some danger yourself.
Mr. King... You think that I have an enemy, too?
Very possible. In a murder case, Laura, everyone involved has an enemy. Because a killer will often stop at nothing to protect himself. Not even to adding another victim to his list.
Come right in, Mr. Keene and Mr. Clancy.
Thank you, Laura.
Servants are still downtown being questioned by the police, I imagine.
Where's the library, Laura, where you found your father's body?
Through that door to the left.
And the study window that was broken?
The study is through the door on the other side.
You needn't come in with us. Mike and I will examine the broken window first.
Very well, Mr. King. I'll phone my fiancé, Charles, and tell him you've taken the case. I know he'll be as happy about it as I am.
Well, let's go into the study, Mike.
Yes. There's the broken pane of glass in the window, Mr. Keene.
Let's have a look at the bloodstains on it.
Well, whoever cut his hand on that pane of glass must have got himself a nasty wound, boss.
Quite a bit of blood on it. Mike, see if you can open that window.
Sure thing, sir. She won't come open.
You know why? It's locked on the inside.
Well, I don't see any lock, boss.
It's hidden behind this sash.
Oh, yes.
A new type of lock that works very easily, and it's foolproof.
Foolproof? How do you mean, sir? Should I answer that, Mr. Keene, sir?
Well, Laura Franklin must have answered in another room. Maybe I'd better listen in to this attention.
Laura, dear. This is Lillian Dix.
Oh?
Yes, Lillian. I've just come from the police. They questioned me about your father's murder. I see. Laura, have you seen your friend George Haycraft recently? Not for over a week. I'm afraid I was forced to tell the police something about him. I ran into him on the street this morning, just after I heard of your poor father's death.
What about George, Lillian?
Perhaps I'd better come over and talk to you in person, Laura. Are you alone?
No. Mr. Keene, the famous investigator, and his partner are here.
Mr. Keene? Has he entered the case?
Yes, Lillian.
Then I'll surely come over immediately. But I have to say it's important.
Then suppose you say it now, Miss Dick.
What? Who's that? Sounds like Mr. Keene.
It is, Laura. I'm on the phone extension in the study. Would you please hang up and let me talk to Miss Dick?
Yes, of course.
Now, Miss Dick, I take it you are a friend of John Franklin's, the murdered man.
A very close friend, Mr. Keene.
And what is it you told the police in regard to George Haycraft? Please tell me now if it's urgent.
Well, you know they found the blood on that broken window.
Yes.
When I saw George on the street this morning, and with that.
Very significant. Suppose you come over here as you suggested, Miss Dix. Then we can talk further.
Very well, Mr. Keene. You can expect me shortly.
And it was George who murdered Father. I didn't hang up, Mr. Keene. I listened as you talked to Lillian Dix.
Perhaps you're jumping to a conclusion a little too quickly, Laura.
But the blood on the broken window and the bandage on George's hand.
Yes, it all fits in very well, doesn't it?
Mr. Keene, you sound like you're not so satisfied with the evidence.
I'm not, Mike. However, I may be wrong. George Haycraft could have murdered John Franklin. Certainly he had a motive. But if it wasn't Haycraft, it was someone as clever as a fox and as cold-blooded as a tiger. You see, George Haycraft may have fallen into a trap. Trap, Mike, that's set for all of us.
In just a moment, we'll return to Mr. Keene and the broken window murder case.